breast cancers.
Weingarts, everything from long to snow.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Wednesday morning. It's April 1st, 2015. I do hope your Holy Week is been a holy one so far. And if it's been a lousy Lent, as Dan Burke said on Friday, you know what? This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day His mercy is new. Every morning, every time we open our eyes and put our feet on the floor, the Lord gives us another chance. And we should say, morning, Jesus. Here I am. I have come to do your will, especially during this Holy Week. So make the most of it. So many beautiful events in our One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And, of course, while you're doing that, stay tuned to us right here at EWTN. All the information, EWTN.com, including the amazing, amazing live coverage of the Holy Father's activities this Holy Week, which we will be discussing, of course, on a Wednesday with our friend Joan Lewis. Now, Joan and I always email back and forth before the program in preparation of what we're going to talk about, because there's always such a large, wonderful menu of items to discuss. And Joan mentioned that before we go over the Holy Father's activities for this week, she wants to talk about a very important anniversary. And I think you know what she's going to discuss, but we'll leave it at that. And she'll talk about her experience on this particular anniversary, 10-year anniversary. And so just going to put it out there. A beautiful story about the passing of John Paul II and what it meant to Joan Lewis and her memory. So we'll talk about that with Joan and, of course, the Holy Father's schedule coming up at 39 minutes past the hour. And after the break, after we check in with the news, we're going to be talking about a wonderful story of young people helping young people that I think will just make you feel really good that there are still some pretty wonderful people in the world trying to do something right for a change. So that's coming up with our friends at Cross Catholic Outreach, and that's at 15 minutes past the hour. And then again, our dear sister, Joan Lewis. I also want to give you an idea of a special interview that I'm going to be doing with my colleague, of course, at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, Al Cresta, this afternoon in the national, well, the second national hour, because Al is now carried, of course, from 4 to 6 on EWTN Eastern Time. This will be in the 5 o'clock hour, where Al and I are going to discuss an experience I had yesterday doing an interview with a local television affiliate, a news station here in the Detroit radio TV market, regarding the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Now, this is a particular station and a reporter with whom Al and I have had exchanges on a semi-regular basis where we do come on their programs and we talk, because we do believe that if it's appropriate, it's important to engage. Not every single interview, but there are things that are important to address and to get involved with. And so I did an interview yesterday. It was recorded, pre-recorded, and it was part of, as we say, a reporter's wrap, or a package, as we would say in the business, which was pre-recorded with some sound bites from myself and from someone who was against the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And when I tell you that it was the most blatant piece of media propaganda, and this old saying that used to be a joke in the news business, but unfortunately has now come to be a fact in the news business, never let the facts get in the way of a good story. Every single out-of-context, hyped-up, sensational, over-the-top claim from the opponents of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was not only in this particular reporter's line of questioning, but ended up on the air. And when I saw it, I sent a link to Al and to Nick and, you know, to my station manager, and we were discussing it. I couldn't say that I was surprised. I guess I was just so disgusted because it was just so blatant. And so I called the producer, and I also called the reporter, and had a very, very long and, I will say, heated and very strong discussion, and called them on the carpet, because I don't think you can let them get away with this kind of stuff. Not when you've willingly said, okay, we'll talk. Let's sit down. And we went over what he wanted, supposedly wanted to discuss beforehand, and that's very important. If you ever do an interview, you have every right to ask, okay, what areas are we going to talk about? Now, they probably won't give you a list of questions, but at least they should give you the realm of the discussion, what's going to be the focus. Because they can't just say we want to talk to you about something and then try to take you all over the map, which is one of the oldest tricks in the book. So we had discussed the fact that he was looking for someone, representing the religious community, the faith community, regarding on the positive end of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And I said, okay, fine. Well, I always record when I'm interviewed, I try to always remember to bring my digital recorder and record the interview for a couple of reasons, because I think it's important to practice and to listen to yourself, to critique yourself, to make sure you're on point and that you're concise. And also because I do media training, one of my other hats outside of Catholic Radio and all of us in this realm of communications wear many hats, as I do media training sessions. I've been doing this for years and helping people not put on spin, but how do we effectively deal with the press? How do we effectively engage the culture? And so for my own practice, I like to record it. But also because it's very important in this day and age to protect yourself. They can't come back and say, well, you said this, if they edit it incorrectly or improperly, and then say, well, yeah, you said this, and I say, no, I didn't, and then you don't have the proof. So I recorded the entire exchange, and we're going to play that for you this afternoon on Crest in the Afternoon, and we're also going to play the end result that was the lead story on this local affiliate. The contrast is, to say it's stunning, is an understatement. After Al saw the piece and we talked last night, he said, I have never seen a more blatant piece of bias and propaganda. And not just the reporter's particular story, but even the intro, the on-camera or anchor intro going into the reporter's piece. So I think it's an important discussion we need to have. And I think when we're on the air, whether it's Al Cresta, whether it's yours truly, Dr. A, whomever, when we are talking to you, and as Doug Keck and I always mention on Monday mornings in our Inside Word segment, when we are talking to you about giving you the truth, we mean what we say. And it's so important for you when you're formulating the way you live your life, when you're formulating opinions, to understand, unfortunately, for the most part, and I can't put everybody in the same category, but how many times do we have to see what's going on right now with this Religious Freedom Restoration Act? How many times do we have to see the propaganda, the media spin, before we realize that we have to always, always, always take what we see and hear from the secular press with a grain of salt? But it's just so over the top. It's just out of control. And so when we say to you, there's a reason you need to support EWTN and the network's affiliates, it's because we give you the truth. And you have to have the truth. You have to be able to make decisions on the truth. If you don't have the facts of reality, then you're living in this, you know, as Doug said on Monday, this upside-down, topsy-turvy world, which a lot of people are doing. So anyway, I think it's going to be an interesting discussion. Al really wants to lay it out there. We're even probably going to include the exchange and the story in our Image and Reality Conference, which is coming up in southeastern Michigan in May. It's just really important for us to understand what's going on here and just how blatant it is. So that's this afternoon on Crest in the Afternoon, and I do hope you stay tuned right here to all the fantastic, or as Joan would say, fantastico, EWTN radio and TV programming, especially during this week, Holy Week. Right now, it's 8 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning, April 1st, 2015. We have some news to get through. Then we'll take a break and come right back at you on a Wednesday. Well, we were just discussing this seconds ago. In the state of Indiana, the governor there, Mike Pence, wants some legislation clarifying the Religious Freedom Restoration Act on his desk by the end of the week. Meanwhile, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum saying there's actually no need to change it.
This law is not a new law. This law has been around for 20 years. It's a law that President Clinton signed. It passed 97-3. I voted for it. So did everybody else, almost everybody else in the Congress, because we believe that the First Amendment actually should be in practice in America.
While addressing the fallout surrounding the controversial law, don't you love that controversial law? Controversial why? as Senator Santorum said, it's been on the books for 20 years in 19 states. Pence reiterating that it does not give anyone license to discriminate or deny services. Santorum agrees. A clarification language will be drafted by two Republicans and two Democrats in a conference committee. It will then be voted on by both the House and the Senate. Meanwhile, the city of Indianapolis is beefing up security ahead of this weekend's Final Four. Mike Bates with Metro Police Homeland Security says they expect some protests in light of the new Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
We're going to allow them to exercise their First Amendment as short of any type of chaos, as far as destruction, breaking windows, whatever the case may be. If they want to demonstrate, they want to march, that's fine.
There will be increased patrols and security cameras in place at many downtown venues, as well as events surrounding the games. Those attending events or the games at the stadium should be warned that the NCAA has put a clear bag policy in place that's similar to the one the NFL implemented before last season and will require everyone to have personal items in a transparent bag. Lufthansa CEO isn't answering questions about just how much the airline knew about the co-pilot who flew a passenger-packed plane into the side of a mountain.
Sir, when did you find the 2009 email from Lubitz?
I'm sorry.
Why did it take you so long to publish the email?
Mr. Spohr, can you tell us how...
A distraught Carsten Spohr speaking to reporters after offering his condolences to the families. He also expressed gratitude for the crews working to recover wreckage and bodies from the southern French Alps. He continued to refer to last week's wreck as an accident rather than an intentional act. French authorities say Germanwings co-pilot Andreas Lubitz intentionally crashed that Airbus A320. All 150 people on board died, including three Americans. It's believed Lubitz suffered from depression and that Germanwings parent company Lufthansa again knew about his psychological struggles. In the hours following the crash, the CEO had said Lubitz was 100% fit to fly. In other news this morning, the big story making headlines, Iran and talks with that country to reach a nuclear deal, as correspondent Joe Gomez reports, have been extended for at least one more day.
Yesterday's arbitrary deadline to reach a framework deal with Iran over its nuclear program has come and gone, but White House spokesman Josh Earnest says enough progress has been made to keep on talking.
They're going
to
continue these conversations as long as, well, if necessary, and as long as the conversations continue to be productive.
Earnest says President Obama is ready to walk away from the negotiating table, saying no deal is better than a bad deal. Major hurdles at the table are the pace at which sanctions against Iran will be lifted, whether or not Iran will keep its stockpile of uranium, and the amount of time Iran will have to suspend nuclear development. I'm Joe Gomez.
Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the Iran nuclear deal being negotiated should be scrapped.
The concessions offered to Iran in Lausanne would ensure a bad deal that would endanger Israel, the Middle East, and the peace of the world.
The Prime Minister is saying important issues would remain unresolved if Iran and several world powers reach an accord. Netanyahu saying any deal should involve Iran putting an end to its threats against Israel. Many Republicans here in the States have aligned themselves with the Israeli leader, House Speaker John Boehner, currently in Israel for a visit with Netanyahu. Meanwhile, as Tom Barton reports, Russia's foreign minister has said he is rejoining talks on Iran's nuclear program in Switzerland.
Sergei Lavrov said prospects for a preliminary agreement on Iran's nuclear program are very good, and his rejoining the talks is seen as a sign that a deal may be close. The group of world powers are worried that Iran is trying to build a nuclear weapon. Iran denies it is trying to build an atomic bomb and wants relief from international sanctions. However, there have been differences on issues including how much enrichment capability of nuclear material Iran should be allowed and what the timing and pace of sanctions relief should be. Tom Barton, Moscow.
Severe weather expected to push through parts of the Midwest and plains today. Meteorologists predicting wind, hail, and lightning, including the possibility of isolated tornadoes across Nebraska. The wild weather coming a day after a similar situation struck a 1,000-mile stretch of the south. And listen to this, reports of hail as big as baseballs in some areas of Arkansas. Interesting story developing around the passing of the heir to the Getty oil fortune. Jason Capadonia has that story.
Andrew Getty was found dead inside his Hollywood Hills estate by an unidentified woman who's being described as a friend and the person who called 911. There are multiple media reports saying that the 47-year-old was found naked from the waist down in a bathroom and suffered some sort of blunt force trauma. Officials with the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office say Getty's death appears to be natural or the result of an accident, and the LAPD's Elite Robbery Homicide Division detectives are investigating. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
It's a Wednesday morning. It's April 1st, 2015. Once again, you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I want to encourage you to make sure you stay tuned to us, especially during Holy Week, but every week and every day, for all the great details on the wonderful programming, especially coming from Rome this week with the Holy Father. You can get all the schedules on EWTN.com. Up next, we're just going to talk about a really, really nice story. Some good news for a change, and this will be about children. Helping children. Beautiful story. Stay tuned.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatment, like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Blessed Wednesday, April 1st already. My goodness, time flies. 877-573-7825. You're listening to Catholic Connection. Produced by Ave Maria and EWTN. You can find this online again at EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And, oh, I just love good news stories. Don't you, Sandy? Good morning.
I love good news stories. Yes, good morning, Teresa.
We're talking with Sandy. Is it Pino or Pino? How do you say your last name?
It's Pino.
Pino, okay.
Yes.
Like Pinot Noir?
Yes, exactly.
Boy, sometimes when you look at the news, you can use a glass or two of that, can't you?
Absolutely, but not when we look at the news about what's happening with our Catholic students.
No, I was just going to say that. This is really just a feel-good story. So tell us about it.
Well, we have a bunch of different programs for Catholic students, and World Youth Day, Palm Sunday, is something that just fits perfectly and ties in perfectly with the programs that we have for Catholic students that they participate in all year long. One of the most exciting is a program that we have called Youth Versus Hunger, where anywhere from 100 to 300 Catholic students gather together in a gymnasium lined up with assembly line tables. There's loud music and competition, and they actually literally pack 40,000 meals to 100,000 meals that are sent to poor and starving children in developing countries.
How do you decide what countries will be the benefit of these packages?
Well, we have partners in over two dozen countries, and where it might be more feasible and easier from Miami, which is where one of our ports is, to send it to Nicaragua or Guatemala or Haiti, and we have a lot of Catholic partners there. But we also send this food, this life-saving food, to Africa and the Philippines and other places. It really depends on where it's most needed.
And so how are the children, or the young people, I should say, told about this, and what's the reaction when they realize they're going to be helping people that are their own age that are really living in quite different circumstances? How are they introduced to this whole idea?
They're introduced to it. First, we would speak with a Catholic school, and they decide that this is a hands and feet type project that they would like to engage in. And then the children actually do fundraising to raise the money to buy and ship the food overseas. And then again, we have competition among different groups and within the school, like football team, student council, National Honor Society, teachers and staff, the priests, the sisters, and then there's even the little six-year-old, a sister at the end of the table, maybe putting stickers on the bags. It can be a whole family event. We have one group of fifth graders that is going to do a Youth Versus Hunger event this spring, and the school is actually loaning them the money to fund the event, and then over the next year, they are going to have to fundraise and pay the school back the money to pay for it, because they really want them to be engaged in the selflessness and the sacrifice to make that happen.
So what's the response after they do this and after they see the positive impact? How does this spur them maybe to get involved more in faith-related activities or in types of activities like these where they're making a difference in devastated parts of the world?
Well, as you know, it kind of adds a dimension to giving and to doing. Since we've been little, we've all been putting envelopes and dollars in the collection plate. And we
yeah, remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember in grade school in Lent when we used to put the little quarters in for the children in the third world countries. When they made the little
we even have that. Yeah, we have that now even, because little kids love to do that. The children love to do that. But this becomes more tangible, more personal. We become the hands and feet of Jesus as we physically see and feel and pack this food for the hungry. You know, it's a sterile environment where everybody's putting on hair nets and aprons and gloves, and we're talking about this food that is sometimes served for lunch at schools that we support, and sometimes it's the only meal that child will receive that day. So this becomes something where they're not just seeing pictures on a commercial or putting a dollar or an envelope in a collection plate, but they are physically feeling and seeing and packing this food and putting it in boxes. And we're packing up those boxes on pallets, and we're praying over those boxes before they get into the truck to go to the port. So it really is then them getting an update months later that shows pictures of some of the children from the schools that actually receive this food. So aww, it really comes full circle. And every time I've done an event like this at a Catholic school, they have always wanted to do one the subsequent year. And I have St. Joan of Arc Catholic School in Pope John Paul High School in Boca Raton, Florida, who are doing their fourth annual Youth Versus Hunger event, and this time they'll up the ante to 100,000 meals in an afternoon.
Wow.
And it's fun. I love doing them. And Lent is a season of doing, of giving, of sacrifice, and it's a perfect time to talk about it, but every season is a perfect time to do it. And we have these events all over the country, all year round. We just participated in one 2 weeks ago at America's newest Catholic school, or one of the newest Catholic schools, John Paul II, in Ridgeland, South Carolina. And they've already decided to do another one next year.
Now, how do you decide what type of food goes into the bag? There has to be a lot of research in terms of nutritional value, in terms of packaging, shipping, all that, you know, kind of stuff. It's not just, okay, let's just get some stuff and throw it in the bag and make sure they get some food. I mean, it has to be very well planned and thought out, right?
It is very well planned, and this is something that has been scientifically researched to see what would be life-saving, nutritious meals that are put into these bags. And so it is measured a combination of rice and soy and dehydrated vegetables and vitamin package that is absolutely life-saving for those people that need that nourishment.
And then how is it distributed once it gets to the various locations?
It would be taken on a container. It would be taken to one of our Catholic partners in one of the countries overseas, and then they distribute it to the families within the parishes that they are serving.
Okay,
and sometimes it goes...
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Sometimes it's given directly to one of our Catholic schools, and I had the opportunity to travel to Haiti in December, and I was actually there serving at a school that had put together meals of this Vita food that we have, and I was serving it to the children. And obviously, it was really emotional and spiritually impactful for me to come full circle with this and actually to be at a school. And they serve this Vita food mixture every day to the students. And sometimes, again, it's the only meal that they get that day.
So what was it like for you to be, as you said, to come full circle with this and actually to see that being applied?
Well, I was crying, and it just made, I mean, it really, it was so impactful, and it just, it was so, what a spiritual, just amazing thing to happen, and it just gave me a challenge to come back to Boca Raton, Florida, and to work as hard as I could to do more, and to engage more students, and to engage more schools. We also have World Food Day, where this year over 50,000 students participated in raising funds to send food to the hungry children in developing countries, and they raised enough to send over a quarter of a million meals this year, and we hope we're going to even double that next year, because it just really, it is an amazing thing to do, and it really does allow them to become the hands and the feet of Jesus.
So if someone listening wants their student or their child or their school to get involved in this, Sandy, what do they do?
Well, they could call at 1-800-914-2420, extension 282, and they could also visit our website, which is www.crosscatholic.org. And Pope Francis is just almost a spokesman for all of the work that Cross Catholic does around the world.
Did you send him a thank you note?
I would love to do that. He's really challenged all of us, and especially
right.
the young people, to be revolutionaries. And we call what we do a revolution against hunger. And we believe that Catholic youth can change the world, and we're seeing that happen.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Thank you for giving us a nice shot in the arm and a positive story, Sandy Pino. Give us the website again for more information, Sandy.
www.crosscatholic.org.
Well, thanks for sharing, and you have a blessed Easter.
Thank you, Teresa. You too.
Bye-bye. Sandy Pino with Cross Catholic. Joan Lewis is going to be spending an extra segment this morning because we have so much to talk about and so little time. Goes by way too fast. We'll be right back on a Wednesday morning. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Wine Garps, everything from lawn to snow.
The grass is always greener when you know how to take care of it. Jack here, neighborhood yard master. Honorary title, but I've been to Weingarts enough to know that outdoor power equipment is not one size fits all. Why settle for a store that has power equipment between paint and plumbing? When you need a mower, tractor, generator, or chainsaw, go to Weingarts. You can count on them to sort through their huge selection and find the equipment that works for you. Same goes for parts, maintenance, and repairs. They'll keep you running for years to come. From the size of your lawn to the size of your wallet, at Weingarts you get the right equipment for your job. For seasonal specials and tips you can trust, visit them in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, Clarkston, and Ann Arbor, or online at Weingarts.com. Better selection, better savings, honest answers.
Weingarts, everything from lawn to snow.
Hi, I'm Reno Frazetta, and I've been serving people here in Metro Detroit for over 20 years. Are you over 50 and thinking about retiring? Here's a smart money tip. Did you know that there are a few different strategies for electing Social Security that can make a big difference in your overall benefits for you and your spouse? For informative literature or for a free software analysis, give me a call at 888-255-1831. That's 888-255-1831. Or visit securemyfunds.com.
Back. Our phone number, if you have a question for the one, the only Joan Lewis, 877-573-7825. Good to be with Joan on a Wednesday. And when I saw the lineup, or the menu, as Joan calls it, she always says today's menu, I'm like, holy cannoli, there is no way we're fitting this all into two segments, especially what she's going to talk about in this first segment with her. There is a whole host, of course, of important events going on in Rome with the Holy Father, because being that this is Holy Week. But before we get to that, Joan is going to take us back to an experience she had 10 years ago regarding someone we know and love so much because we grew up with him as our Pope, John Paul II. So I'm going to let you take it away, Joan, and just kind of share what you were going through 10 years ago. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. No, it's my joy to be here. And when I think back and say to myself, 10 years ago today, you know, there were tens of thousands of people in St. Peter's Basilica, in St. Peter's Square, and not only during the day, the late evening, but throughout the night, the early next morning, because it just, you know, looked like he certainly was not going to make it. And these were people coming to pay their last respects. And, of course, I was working at the Vatican Information Service. So we were on call until very, very late at night. And what I'm going to put in my blog today is an email I wrote to family, and then I think I sent it to a lot of other friends, because people kept emailing me and calling me all April 1st and April 2nd, and then obviously April 3rd and 4th, et cetera, letters of condolences. I believe I have every email of condolence that I received in that period. I filed them. But I talk about getting, working late at night, working till late, get to bed about 2:30, but I was wide awake when the alarm went off, and I said, these hours have been surreal, the worsening health situation. And then I had to translate all the press office bulletins into English, knowing all this information before everybody else did about the Pope, and the huge numbers of faithful pouring in nonstop, day becoming night, and a life probably ending. And I said, what is so unreal was to see the countless number of people and yet be able to hear a pin drop in St. Peter's Square, the religious awed silence, the respect for a great and wonderful man. And I wrote a friend earlier the day that I was writing, the same day I was writing this letter to my family, and I said, I wrote a friend today that I felt closer to God all day because I think God is personally coming down to earth to get John Paul, not the Pope, going up to meet him. And I said, I'm writing these words through tears. I'm very sorry. Apologize for that. And I said, what an extraordinary human being, a giant spiritually and theologically and humanly and even politically, and how many lives the Pope touched, et cetera. So these are words that I wrote, and each word brings back 100 feelings to me of that night, of the night and of the day. Wanting to leave my office to go out into the square and be with everybody as we thought we were saying goodbye. And then, of course, April 2nd, as we said goodbye. And just feeling at one with every human being I saw, because they were all there in St. Peter's Square. As I said, many slept the night. These will be some pictures I'll be posting on my blog. Today, the pictures that I took 10 years ago tonight, and people sleeping in the square, coming prepared, sleeping bags, blankets, and then the city of Rome coming to life with, right. Oh, my word, we better have some things on hand when people come to Rome to see the Pope, and the gathering of making water available, blankets, as people came to Rome without a once he had died and they wanted to be there to pay their respects. People, if they came to Rome with a sleeping bag, the Olympic Stadium was open to anybody who came with their own tents or sleeping bags. And then those who just wanted to come to Rome but couldn't find a place and didn't even have a sleeping bag, there were emergency facilities set up on the Rome fairgrounds. So it would be just like, you know, with Katrina in the States, you had the stadium and other places filled with cots and available medical supplies and doctors and things like that. And that's pretty much, you know, what happened. But,
trying to remember how many people showed up and waited in the lines. I remember seeing the lines.
It was 3.8 to 4 million was the estimate. And I mean, that's like double the very populace of Rome. Yeah. Rome, 10 years ago, I guess, pretty close to now, is 2.5 million. I mean, but you're counting all the suburbs and everything else in that figure. But it was really amazing how the city came to life, and it's one reason I'm not worried at all about the coming Jubilee, because I mean, Rome made available all the housing that I just mentioned. Parishes were asked to open up not only the church, but would any of their families take somebody in, a person, a couple, a family, if they could accommodate them. And it was just amazing. People didn't care where they slept. They weren't looking for convenience. They wanted to be within breathing distance of the Pope's room, of the Pope then as he was lying in state in St. Peter's Basilica. And I have to tell you, Teresa, one of the things that most touched me, I'm sure you and some of our listeners who have eaten at La Vittoria restaurant know that from the restaurant, at least when John Paul and Benedict lived in the Papal Palace, you could always see the office of the Pope and his secretary. The windows would be lit up at night till about 11 or 11:15.
I know, I love
that. But the corner room that was always dark was the papal bedroom.
Right.
You know, shutters and so forth were closed on that. And the only time I ever saw that light lit was when he died.
Mm.
And that got to my heartstrings because the other lights were not on. The two offices of the Pope and his secretary. So just the bedroom where he had died, and that just, wow, just took my breath away.
Mm.
But the feeling, just reliving it with you and speaking with you and just reading my notes on my computer screen right now, looking at pictures as I was doing when you called, these are just, as real to me now.
Yeah,
I think anybody listening can think of a day in your life. I mean, whether it's a wedding.
Where were we that day? Where were that
the where were we that day? And if you're old enough,
died,
you know, when John Kennedy was shot, where were you? And where were you when John Paul died?
But there's a different sense about John Paul II now, St. John Paul II, because of, well, I think the universality of the church. What really struck me and strikes me when we're talking about this is thinking about how so many people who were watching, following that story, and even coming all the way to Rome were not even Catholic. Many of them were also not even Christian. They just had such a profound respect for him.
Well, exactly. They knew that this was one of the greatest men to ever walk on the earth. He was first and foremost to those especially who were not Catholic. He was just a great, wonderful human being. And it was amazing how to many people, probably more Christians than others, but how to many people, what you heard them say just from the man in the street interviewed by television in those days and immediately after his death was how people said they felt like they had lost a father figure. And in fact, in my first appearance on television before the EWTN crew came to Rome for their, at that time, one-hour-long nightly show, which went on for close to 3 weeks. But I was appeared on EWTN television through some of the, like Associated Press, they have facilities for allowing people to...
Right, pool feeds. Let's hold that thought for a second, and we'll take a break, and then we'll continue the discussion and also take a look, of course, at the Holy Father's activities this week. He's calling Pope Francis the Triduum, the apex of our liturgical year, and also the apex of our lives as Christians. More with Joan Lewis from Rome when we return on a Wednesday.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells the disciples to go back to Jerusalem. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. The word translated as power is also the root for our word for dynamite. Jesus is promising an explosive power that will enable us to witness to the nations and live a powerful Christian life. That same powerful Holy Spirit is received in baptism and confirmation. As baptized and confirmed Catholics, we already have all we need to live life through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we remove the obstacles of our own understanding and lack of preparation and move with the Holy Spirit into the mission He has given us, we will change the world.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Did you know that Ave Maria Town in Southwest Florida is really growing?
Tell me about it.
Ave Maria truly is one of the nation's fastest-growing master-planned new home communities.
Is that because there's no snow?
Well, the weather sure helps, but Ave Maria Florida is a unique place.
How so?
The town of Ave Maria has been designed as a hometown for the 21st century, a place where residents of different generations and backgrounds can find all they need to live life to the fullest. School, shopping, employment opportunities, and more. In addition, the presence of Ave Maria University, a Catholic university that is both excellent and affordable.
Sounds great. What else?
Houses are being sold starting in the low 200s with several communities to choose from. There's a private Catholic K-12 school along with golf, bike trails, a fitness center, not to mention several daily masses and adoration within walking distance.
So how can I arrange a visit?
Call Carol at 239-249-2111. That's Carol Carpenter at Berkshire Hathaway, 239-249-2111.
The things that maybe we could do, and I'm sure Joan would agree with me on this, this Holy Week, is to just reflect. Obviously reflect on the life and passion of our Lord, as our Holy Father just said in the statement I just read you about how important this week is to us as Christians, but also to take a step back and do what Joan's doing, reflect on the impact the Church has on the world. There is something about the Catholic Church. I mean, we say universal church. And we say one holy Catholic and apostolic. And when we look at the way the Church is always talked about in the news, even though the culture and the world and secular society say, oh, the Church is archaic, the Church is backward. Why is it that the world is so enthralled with the Catholic Church? I think it's because that somehow, somewhere deep
very
inside.
Good.
Yeah, right.
Pardon me?
No, I was just going to say that deep inside, people are really searching and they're drawn to the Catholic Church because of what it represents, even if they don't know it.
Right. So, sorry I interrupted. There was a little pause in the phone somewhere there. But as you say those words, it makes me think of something that Christian Amanpour, who was here in 2005 for CNN covering the show, and one day I was at home, a very rare thing, except to sleep in those days, but I remember switching the TV around just to see how different channels were covering. Things are winding down. The Pope Benedict's now been elected, et cetera. And I heard Christiane Amanpour say to whoever her guests were at that moment, do you realize we have just been profiling, featuring, focusing on the Catholic Church for one solid month? What it teaches, what it's about, who's part of it, where it is. And that was so profound to me. And then I realized we had all done that. You know, whether it was CNN, EWTN, the Vatican television, et cetera, that's exactly what it did, profiled it for a month. And to get to your point, people stayed, they were riveted by this. Of course, they were also living history, but anybody who was in Rome or even watching on television, that they were riveted no matter where they came from, no matter their religious background. And I think they know it's because something about religion, something about faith, something about the greatness of the men who occupy the chair of Peter, fills their life more than anything material.
Yeah.
That's got to be certainly part of it for anyone who is, you know, not a Catholic or even a Christian.
Yeah, something about it. All right, let's move over to the Holy Father's schedule, which is jam-packed this Holy Week, right?
Absolutely. As it is every Thursday, but every Holy Week beginning with the Triduum, starting with Holy Thursday, of course. But then there is always the audience on Wednesday. There was the Palm Sunday, big Palm Sunday events, naturally, and the audience today. And the Pope, as all popes have done on the Wednesday audience preceding the Triduum, the 3 days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and the Easter Vigil, in the general audience, their catechesis does focus on the meaning of each of these days. And then what the Pope will be doing is, again, what they do every year on Holy Thursday. Francis will preside at two masses, one in a Roman prison where he will wash and kiss the feet of male and female inmates to commemorate Christ's gesture of humility.
Mm.
And then he's the very first pope to do this outside the Vatican, of course. And then the mass is the Christian mass. That's the morning mass on Holy Thursday. Then Friday is the Via Crucis. There's a Good Friday afternoon service in St. Peter. No, service, not the right word, but in St. Peter's Basilica about the Passion. And then, of course, the wonderful, very evocative Way of the Cross at the Colosseum. That's always very extraordinary.
That is one of my favorites. I was telling Doug Keck when he was on with me on Monday, and I was mentioning it to my listeners. But what I don't know what it is about that, Joan, but that is just so powerful. I just love watching that. It's so deep, what it represents. I don't know.
No matter what the weather, and I've seen these events take place in the pouring rain, and, of course, the Pope will be covered by it. He'll be covered his head by a canopy, but it'll usually be open on the other side. It still draws huge numbers of people in Teresa. They have to get to the Colosseum at Warden. The event begins, the Way of the Cross begins at 9:15. But these people will be there at 6 o'clock to get a good, well, they stand for the whole thing, but just to get in a good position where they can possibly see some of the participants, like the Cardinal Vicar of Rome, the people who will be carrying the cross around the Colosseum. And I've been inside the Colosseum on the Good Friday event. Again, we have to, of the media, have to get there early. But then you go up to almost the top level, and that's where all the cameras are and the movie cameras, and exactly the opposite of where Pope Francis will be sitting. And it's that in itself, just to be inside the Colosseum, to walk around. I think the first time I went, I took some pretty amazing pictures of the Colosseum before the Via Crucis even started. So, and then the reading of the Via Crucis, and then the reflections, which are written by someone whom the Pope invites every single year. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, 10 years ago, when you think of it, it was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger who wrote the reflections for the Via Crucis on that Good Friday. And that's, of course, a picture that went around the world, not of him, but of Pope John Paul sitting in his chapel, bent over in pain and anguish, and at that point unable to speak. And John Paul bending over in a chair with his head on the crucifix. And then he's in his chapel, but they had placed a flat-screen TV so he could watch the events. And then, of course, days later, you have the Joseph Ratzinger elected as Pope Benedict XVI. So, and just think of what Benedict, let's think about him for a minute.
I was just going to ask you that,
What he's got to be feeling and thinking in these days of 10 years ago today, knowing that and being with this man who he had served so loyally and faithfully and with such great love for 24 years. And then to watch him die. And I can remember when, more recent, but when the very night that Benedict announced his resignation, I was on Fox News, and Shep Smith asked me, he said, "Joan, what's the real reason that Benedict resigned?" And I said, "Oh, heavens, Shep." I said, "If you watch the Pope on TV," I said, "just look at him the last year. Like, we cover the White House or politics, we cover the Pope. When we watch him, we see him physically. Look at him a year ago, and walking became difficult, and then he was using a cane." I said, "You could see the physical decline, even though his mind is brilliant, but he felt he couldn't serve the Church as he should." And then I said, "You know, Shep, John Paul taught the world how to die. The world watched him die over months and weeks and days and hours." And I said, "Benedict is giving us a lesson in how to live." Because he made this choice free of any outside pressure, free of any, "What will people think of me if I do this?" It was just his love for the Church. So two great men, well, obviously Benedict, thank the Lord, still with us, and who taught us amazing lessons about one, about dying, and the other, about living.
You know what I love when I read the Holy Father's audience messages or his daily homilies from the Santa Marta? It's so beautiful to see how he's very frequently, and even recently in the last couple of weeks, he's done this, quoting both John Paul II and Benedict.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I mean, he's fully aware of the greatness of the two men that preceded him, and humble enough, Francis is, to talk about those qualities with great ease. You know, it's not like he was jealous or trying to fill shoes that he felt he could not fill, because you look at three men, John Paul, Benedict, and Francis, and you couldn't find three more different human beings.
Right.
In style more than anything else.
Well, kind of like the apostles, right? Just the different, very different personalities and very different, you know, missions in terms of, all had the same mission, of course, in preaching the gospel, but were given different assignments because of their different charisms. Now, let's talk a little bit about Easter Sunday in St. Peter's Square for the Mass. What's the process? Is it similar to the audience?
The Sunday is an amazing thing. I mean, if you start early enough Saturday, you can watch things develop in St. Peter's Square. It's partly the same. I mean, as I don't remember how the Pope initiates the procession, because the last two, I guess, Easter Sundays or last Easter, I was with Santa Susanna, and I think I saw snippets on television afterwards. But in the square, obviously, and in and around the altar area, actually from the altar area kind of cascading down to the area where the public is seated, the Dutch florists for, I've forgotten what year this would be, but I'll probably be doing a piece on it, the Dutch florists come in with tens of thousands of bulbs, flowers, flowering bushes, palm trees, et cetera, et cetera. And they will bring those in Saturday. All of them are at the point of readiness. If the bulbs aren't open Saturday morning, they will be for Easter. They're in refrigerated vans. Whatever the climatic condition has to be, it is in the transport when they bring all this stuff to Rome. And so they start preparing in the square, and, of course, it's just an explosion of colorful, beautiful nature.
My goal, I have to get to Rome on Easter. I have to be in Rome at Christmas. I've been in Rome right after Christmas and right after Easter, but never for the actual events themselves, which is one of my goals also to get to
the
Way of the Cross.
The vigil, you know, is very beautiful. That's in St. Peter's Basilica, and then Sunday is very special. Of course, there's the Urbi and Orbi, the message to the
city and the world.
To the city and to the world. That's twice a year. That is Christmas.
From the Loggia.
So we will have that message, too. And then in Italy, Monday is the Monday of the Angel. It is Easter Monday and a big holiday. So that's the day that if the weather's nice, anybody that's gone away for Easter weekend, they will have the family picnic or whatever.
The Italians are always on holiday. It's always a holiday. It's always a break. It's either cena or a pranzo or something, and it lasts for hours. That's what I love about that country. It's like they do know how to live, I'll tell you that much. All right, listen, we have to take a break and wrap up. Even though we've had three segments, there's still so much more to talk about. But when I come back, I have to let our listeners know what's coming up on tomorrow's program. In the meantime, let me wish you a buona Pasqua. You enjoy the rest of this amazing week.
Okay, Santa, the same to you.
And being in Rome, and I'm sure we look forward to talking with you next week on this very show to kind of give us a wrap-up of the beautiful, of course, Triduum, and then we will be in Easter week next week. Joan Lewis, our Rome Bureau Chief, of course, reporting live from Roma. Thank you so much for the beautiful insights, and we'll be right back on a Wednesday morning to tell you what's coming up on Holy Thursday, our edition of Catholic Connection, produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Stay tuned.
This Ave Maria Radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile. 5% of your mobile plan price goes to a pro-life or Catholic charity at no additional cost to you. More information can be found at CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Don't miss Wild Award-nominated musical The Cross in the Light, now touring as a spectacular music concert and digital projection experience in a church near you.
Wonderful production. Absolutely fantastic.
That was incredible.
Wow. And if you don't know Christ, by the time you leave here tonight, you ought to know who he is.
21 performances, April 16th through May 16th. Buy tickets today at crossandlight.com or 734-788-7073.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Building the apostolate of the laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
Wednesday morning, 54 minutes past the hour. So good to be with you every single day, especially during this holiest of weeks, the Triduum beginning tomorrow, and some beautiful, beautiful summaries of the Holy Father's messages can be found at a variety of different websites, including ours, the news site, EWTNnews.com. And don't forget to tune in to my buddy Brian Patrick tonight on News Nightly to get the latest as well. And then, of course, you can stay tuned. You can be very comfortable. And if it's anything like the weather here in Michigan, a little bit chilly this week, you can stay inside and watch all of the beautiful programming on your television or your laptop, whatever works for you. Or you can DVR it and come home and watch it. But don't miss it. And especially, as Joan said, the events coming up with the Triduum tomorrow night, the Holy Thursday, and then moving into Good Friday and the Stations of the Cross from the Colosseum, the Easter Vigil, and then on Sunday, of course, Easter Sunday Mass in St. Peter's Square, and then the message, the annual message, as Joan said, actually twice a year, from the Holy Father, from the Loggia, the message to the city and to the world, which EWTN will also be carrying. Now, coming up on our program tomorrow, very excited to have someone also familiar to our viewers and listeners on EWTN, Father Robert Barron, the head of course, Mundelein Seminary, but also the face and the brains behind the beautiful DVD series on Catholicism, as well as many other wonderful works that are carried here on EWTN. He's joining us tomorrow, though, on a very interesting topic. Father did a great piece on the Cinderella movie. He gives us some background. He talks about the Christian imagery and messaging in the film and talks about how, surprise, surprise, Disney did not have any negative messages in the movie. But I'm also going to ask him about how some feminists are responding to Cinderella. Yes, they even have a problem with Cinderella. So, never ends. But Father will give us a great perspective and, of course, talk to us about Holy Week. And then we'll also check in with the Family Research Council on the Religious Freedom Act that's causing all this alleged controversy. That's on a Thursday tomorrow. See ya.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Men, it's time to rise up, to accept the challenge,
to become that for which you were made. Join hundreds of other men when you participate in the Diocese of Lansing's 7th Annual Men's Conference, Saturday, April 25th from 8:30 to 3 at St. Mary Magdalene Church in Brighton. This year, hear inspirational messages from Bert Gezzi and Matthew Leonard, music by Brian Flynn, and Mass with Bishop Earl Boyer. Learn more and register at acceptthechallenge.org. That's acceptthechallenge.org.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease.